Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Hello, I'm Debbie King. I am the president and CEO of the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. And today I am blessed to have former Alderwoman Lorraine Cady and founder of House of Grace. And I also have Ms. Sarita Drake, our current executive director of the House of Grace, with me today. Let's talk about from your public service into the ministry and founding House of Grace. Can you tell me about inception of House of Grace and what your mindset was? Did you know at that time how that need was going to continue to grow?
No, I didn't know anything at that time. I kept telling God, but I don't know any battered women. God kept urging me to do it, and it went on for a while. It wasn't like an overnight thing, and I kept saying, but God, I don't know any battered women, and I didn't think I did. You know, it was not talked about, and law enforcement was not as involved in it at that time, and preachers sure didn't know what the heck to do about it. Go home and be a better wife and things will get better. Or they would make the man and woman come in and sit down together and talk about it. That does not work. Bless their hearts. They were doing what they'd been taught and what they knew to do as man, as the leader of the family. Very seldom is a man the leader of the family. They think they are. I don't mean to put you down, sir. What I'm saying is, the families have changed so much and things are so dynamic, different now than they used to be back in the day. Women are more educated nowadays. Women drive now. My mother never drove a car. She didn't want to.
Because my aunt didn't either.
Because she had my father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things have changed now. I'm the only woman I know that's not driving anymore. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that, and after the World War II particularly, things flipped because when the men were away fighting the war, the women went to work. Mm-hmm. And they were building bombs and tanks and ships. When the war ended, the man came home. He wanted his job back. Mm-hmm. Women didn't want to give up that paycheck. Mm-hmm. And some of them were making good salaries. So I think at that time was the biggest change in the dynamics between men and women. Mm-hmm. But anyway, things have changed a lot. I'm a pretty conservative woman. People used to say, when I fought annexation, that was a pretty astounding thing for women to be out fighting a cohort. Another city. It just hadn't been done here. So it was pretty amazing that a lot of people call me liberal woman. Mm-hmm. And I finally got tired of it and said, I don't even know what that means. I thought at first it meant I didn't wear a bra. So, you know, because there was a lot of things in the paper back in those days about the liberal women and the bra. I never figured all that out. But anyway, it was difficult times, but surprisingly enough, it was an issue that everybody could support. Mm. It wasn't a woman's issue or a man's issue. It was people protecting their home and their family and the things that they had worked to build up here at the time. So it was pretty well accepted that I wasn't going anywhere, that I was going to fight it till the end, which I did. And thank God we won. But it was a new thing for a lot of women because a lot of women were still homemakers then. Mm-hmm. And but we had women that were available to help at the school and to teach Bible school. Some churches don't have Bible school anymore because there's nobody to teach it. Mm-hmm. Or they don't have Bible studies anymore or Wednesday night prayer meetings because there's not women to teach and lead those things. Mm-hmm. The man's supposed to be the leader of the house, of the family, but where are they? Mm.
Right, so
and
you were saying
that's what I mean about saying that women basically are very strong leaders now because they had to be.
They had to be. Mm-hmm. So at what point did you say, okay, God, I'll start a battered shelter since that's what you want me to do? How did that come about?
Well, I couldn't. It had gotten to the point that I couldn't sleep at night. As I told the preacher at Trinity one time, we were talking about it. I said, God kept nagging me. And he looked so surprised and shocked. But that's how I felt at the time. So I couldn't sleep, and God kept putting it on my heart that I needed to do it. And, of course, I didn't know any battered women back then. There were no, they had no police support back then, and the public was not educated about the dynamics of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And all the other men would say, well, goodness, he must have caught her running around. That was the answer to domestic violence. Mm-hmm. He caught her running around. Mm-hmm. And the police even used to say that. And it used to make me so mad, you know. But anyway, I finally, that night, just scared my husband to death. I sat up in the bed and I said, okay, God, I'll try it. I was angry because I decided, well, I'm going to call a meeting. That's the best thing to do, just call a meeting. And then if nobody comes, that'll be the end of it, you know. But I was stupid. I called everybody in the county, the health department, the police department, the sheriff's department, and invited them to come. So they came. The room was full. I was just shocked. So we had the meeting and decided to continue if there was any support for it. And that's how it started. We met in the courtroom at City Hall. Wow. And Greg was mayor at that time, and he was very supportive. And so was Greg Guy. Matter of fact, Greg Guy was on the board at that time. And he was very supportive. He was on the first board, as I remember. So was Pat Vickery. She was such a big help. She knew a lot about domestic violence because she's a survivor. Mm-hmm. They used to call them victims back in those days, but we changed it. They're survivors.
I like that much better.
It's more positive.
Yes.
Much more positive.
And it's the truth.
It's absolutely, absolutely. People have, if they aren't close to it, or they don't know a survivor, have no idea what some women go through. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't. I was having a good time being an alderman and playing tennis and, you know, doing all the things that I've done. I'm always doing something. The mayor over here calls me a doer. I call myself a starter. I start a lot of things.
I've been a kid.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to create more opportunities for our members and community to share their story. And this podcast is just one of many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't make it happen without Pure Focus Media, the creative team behind the scenes helping make us and a lot of local businesses to look and sound their best. Pure Focus Media is on a mission to make high-quality video and content creation accessible to businesses of all sizes. From strategy to production, they help tell your story, attract more leads, and grow through the power of video. If you're ready to level up your brand, you need to visit purefocus.media and schedule your strategy call today.
I've been accused of being a doer before. That's okay. Through the years, just in the 14 years that I've been here, to see how House of Grace has impacted so many different women, and to watch some of them go on to get their law degree, or to have women who have come out and said, I am a survivor, and no one knew that. I have had women here in the chamber that own businesses that have told me that they went through that as well. Ms. Sarita, talk to us a little bit about continuing carrying that torch, and from Ms. Lorraine starting to what that looks like today, and how, if people, I want us to start wrapping up, but I want us to talk a little bit about if people need help, or if people want to get involved or want to donate and contribute, if you could talk to us a little bit about what her vision has come and brought light to and shed light to. I can't help but think it's probably a terrible analogy, but I grew up dirt poor. We didn't have a whole lot of money. And when my mom and dad separated and divorced, I was a teenager. And I remember going to my dad's house and I would flip on the light and cockroaches would scatter. And so I spent so much time cleaning up his kitchen and his house because I thought that was just awful. But it's reminded me so many times, especially reading scripture, about us being light and about us shining the light of Christ and what that does to darkness, how it breaks it up like those scattering cockroaches or something that are infesting our room. Will you talk to us a little bit about House of Grace today and wrap it up with telling us how we can get involved?
Yes. Let me start back with when I met Miss Katie. And who Miss Katie is, her character is steadfast. She has the mind of Christ because she walks with him. He walks with her. And so that's one of the things that when I met Miss Katie, going on 11 years ago, my two daughters and I moved into the House of Grace. But I did not know it was called domestic violence. It's interesting that you can go almost 30 years in a situation, maybe because you grew up in it. Maybe because you married it, maybe because you watched it happen in other people's lives, but you don't know the name of it. Now, it's interesting that Miss Katie told the Lord, I don't know anybody. And at the same time that was happening in other people's lives, they didn't know that's what they were in. They knew it was scary, it was violent, it was unpredictable. They wanted to escape, but they didn't know how. So at the same time, Miss Katie didn't know anybody that was in it. People that were in it didn't know what it was called. So we were on parallel paths that we didn't know each other. And as I had been in it a long time, didn't know what it was called, knew how I felt, but didn't know what it was called. No. As I was introduced through many, many things to the House of Grace, moved in. The first time they have interview questions when you move in, you know, paperwork. And there's a sheet, it's like the circle of violence. And it's the cycle that you go through. And I remember going, oh my gosh, I'm saying yes to every question. My oldest daughter at the time was in her early 20s. And she said, Mama, it's yes to every question. That was the first time lights went on in my life. And it's been 11 years ago. So I was in my 50s. And I went, oh my gosh, this is what that is. The second thing that we realize now as I'm the director is we tell people, I believe you. I believe you. That is one of the strongest statements we can tell anybody is I believe you and thank you for sharing with us. And what I say to them when they come in is, I'm sorry that you had to come here, but we're so glad you're here. And we're going to walk with you. What are your goals? What are your dreams? And most of the people, and I think it's probably the same as when Miss Katie was, she was a gentle, strong leader. And never in my dreams of my life at all could I have come from a child with no voice to a young college student with no voice. What that means is I had no confidence in what I thought, because my thoughts were like, but I grew up in this. It was just... But it's still the same way. And so Miss Katie spoke with me, and I remember saying, Miss Katie, because God is, if you look back at your life, you can see this is where God's worked. But as you're going through it, you're just clinging. And so as the Lord has brought me forward, things that I realized as he was working, someone was praying for me. And what became more important in my life, I was 43 before I became to know Christ. And so God just continued to grow me because my main thing was, Lord, I've got to learn from you, because there was not a voice for me in growing up years. there was not a voice, but his voice is now in the Word. And I told Miss Katie as we were eating lunch today, I said, Miss Katie, I love talking with you because we have the same language and I can share with you my heart. And bless her, she'll say, Sarita, I'll say, Miss Katie, I just, you know, love this about you. And she'll say, Sarita, you don't know my heart. I have a black heart. And I'm like, yes, me too. And but we know who to go to. The Lord is cleansing that. But moving forward from when I first came as a client to the House of Grace with my two girls, walked through that, walked through all that you go through when you're in that situation, and you may not know what it's called, but it's domestic violence. It is men, women, and the children. And that breaks my heart, that it's a cycle, but we can break the cycle. But there's no way that I would have made it without the Lord, without my word, without the church, without godly friends, without people praying. And but what I learned was to walk steadfastly, to be obedient. And Miss Katie was that strong presence in my life. And so now I've been the director. June 1st will be 5 years. And Miss Katie is still in my life. And a lot of the people that walked with me are still in my life. Melissa, Missy Flanagan, my friends even from high school that are still saying, I didn't know you were going through that. I'm sorry, but what can I do now? So moving forward, the main thing is we want to get the word out that if you see something, say something. I think the main walk with survivors is keep it a secret. Why it embarrassed me and I was so ashamed of being in that, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like now we are trying to, through the website, get the word out. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's something that does happen. It is illegal. We need to tell people. If you're scared, tell someone I'm scared. I want to get the word out that the House of Grace is still here. And we want to walk steadfastly. Every person that comes in without discrimination, we want them to know we're here. We have resources. We have other businesses that support us that say, we may not need be everything that we need to be, but we will be who God called us to. And my voice gets louder. It's so lovely. And I'm so humbled that God would use my voice, which I didn't have one because I didn't know who to tell. And when I did tell, they didn't believe me. Now I can say, oh no, we will do this. You will be safe with all that we have. We will help you with resources. So I think what's the beautiful thing about the House of Grace is the platform is the same. We want to help men, women, and their children not just make it through, but to survive and to grow and to thrive. It's hard, but we learn through every case and we pray. I got a call last night. We got a crisis call. And I just said, we got to stop. We got to pray because it seems impossible sometimes. But then you see the stories as they unfold, and it is absolutely beautiful. So what we're doing now is getting the word out. We are partnering with different businesses that will say, what is your plan? What is your vision? And I'm ready. They'll say, what can we do? And I'm like, because I'm trying. God is training me to the sound of his voice. And it's interesting. A voice keeps coming. The voice. God formed the earth by his voice. And Jesus heals us and washes our sin because he speaks to our sin and says, let me have it. Miss Katie is still a strong voice. And we were talking about end of life stuff. And like, you know, my sister passed not long ago. And, you know, those things are hard. And I remember when we were in the House of Grace, me and my girls, and I was on the back porch. We were just talking with other survivors. And one of them said to me, aren't you scared? Aren't you scared? You don't know what's happened. You don't know what you're going to do next. And I thought for a second. And the Lord gave me the answer. I was much more scared living in this dark place where I didn't know where the danger. I knew where the danger was, but I couldn't predict the next awful thing that was going to happen. And I said, it is much less scary to have a future that is filled with possibilities. No, I don't know where I'm going. No, I don't know what's happening next. No, I don't know where I'm going to work. I don't know how we're going to get a car. I don't know, but this is much less scary. And God has walked me through it. So what, where we're going, we have possibilities. People are coming. I can't share some of that, but we have possibilities. We have real things happening where I can say, I want to improve our shelter. I want to improve it because it was built in, when was the shelter built? I just looked that up. It's about 60 years old.
Yes.
And so now there's a lot of upkeep that if you don't do it, you better do it. So those are possibilities.
Same as the old neighborhood. Mm-hmm. If you don't stay after mm-hmm. it, it gets worse.
Right? And I would love, we are an emergency shelter. I would love to look to the future and say, I would love to have a transitional shelter where women right. could stay up to a year. Because it's hard, 30 to 45 days, housing, daycare, transportation to get on their feet. We try and it is amazing, but I do believe that it is all the Lord and we are being his strong workers. So it's encouraging, but we want to get the word out. And thank you for having us.
The one thing that has changed.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to bring more opportunities to our members and to our community. And this podcast is one of the many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't be able to do what we do without the support of our sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. They're the strategic tech partner that makes it possible for businesses to work smarter and not harder. Wisdom Integrators helps organizations harness that power of technology by designing tailored solutions for workflow, automation, process improvement, and digital transformation. For small businesses or large enterprises, they bridge the gap between the vision and the execution. Are you ready to scale up your efficiency and impact? Then you need to come and visit wisdomintegrators.com to schedule your consultation today.
Has changed so much is the public is educated. The board is more educated. We both have to work with answer to a board, mm-hmm. which it's there's not always on the same, don't have the same vision as you do.
Right.
But they have influence and power mm-hmm. to influence the rest of the members on the board. And that makes it difficult. Our first board, where we had one survivor, Pat, and Annie Jamerson, our mm-hmm. social worker. I can never say enough good about Annie Jamerson. She's retired. She's very ill now. But educating the board was hard, too, to what you need. We're not a fundraiser board. We don't raise funds. Well, you know, that throws me to raise funds and to take care of the women, the right. shelter, and the, what was it, thrift shop. Mm-hmm. We had three facilities that had to be taken care of. And the board didn't want, they wanted to come to the meeting and sit there and talk and go out in the public and say, I'm on the board of directors at the House of Gray. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really want, they weren't committed to working and helping. The biggest part of the House of Grace is educating the public. Mm-hmm. We had supporters in the business community, but they weren't as informed as they needed to be. We had a lot of churches that donated to us on a monthly basis, but the preachers had not risen to the point of knowing about domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Educating the churches have been very important because churches tend to be judgmental. Mm-hmm. If you sin in Mississippi, they know about it. Mm-hmm. And they tend to pass judgment on people. They tend to judge women in domestic violence harder than they do the men in the church because men are supposed to be the leaders. Jesus said so.
Right.
So something is breaking down in that woman that she can't follow him. Mm-hmm. So it's a very complex situation. Do you agree with
yes,
that?
Mm-hmm.
It's very. Education has been one of the most important things mm-hmm. that we've done, plus training the law enforcement agencies in mm-hmm. this area. We had 7 to 11 counties that we took women for, and I didn't take men into the shelter. We found another place for them to go. Right. We always helped them. We never turned anybody away without help.
Right.
But we did not take men into the shelter. And that's just a point where we have a different vision. It's not that we disagree or have problems with it. I just don't do it.
Right.
Because we know how frightened women and children can be when men come in.
Right.
But we had two men bring a chest of drawers, and we had three children there, and they ran and hid when the men came in to bring the furniture. So that tells you a lot about little children and the fear that they have. But anyway, I feel in my heart that God called the House of Grace into being, and He's not going to let it fail. He'll keep it going. I don't worry about it failing, but it needs to be bigger.
Yes.
It needs to be bigger.
We can only take 12 with three bedrooms.
I closed in the front porch so we would have more space, and I closed in the garage, which has a bedroom and a bathroom and the utility room, I guess, and added that space to it. But it's not big enough.
Wow.
Just not big enough. So it needs to be bigger, or we need to move to another location.
I agree.
Thank you for sharing your needs. Thank you so much for giving us some background, not only about South Haven, but about the House of Grace. And I appreciate your time. I hope y'all have enjoyed talking with me, and I would love to have you come back on sometime. Let's talk some more.
And I would love to say we have hired a management for like our website, and there are a lot of needs that we have on there. And it's www.houseofgracedv.org. And it's got so much teaching now and places to give financially, things the shelter needs and we always need. Because there's no charge for absolutely anything we do. Not one penny.
Not a penny.
Not a penny has ever been charged for any of our services. Counseling, housing, getting employment, gas, just so many things that we offer because we want to help them be successful.
That's
and
beautiful.
Not be scared every day of their life.
Well, God bless you both for the work that you've done and what you're doing. We appreciate it.
One thing we do need is more emphasis on mental health in this area. Some women are bipolar, and they don't know they're bipolar. And their mates, I don't say husband as much as I used to, their mates have no idea what's wrong with them. And it causes so many issues, mental illness in relationships. You can't say marriage anymore because that's old-fashioned. Nobody's getting married. But Marty can testify that my grandson's always in somebody's wedding. He's flying home this weekend from Denver to be in a wedding. He's always in somebody's wedding. But anyway, we're praying that he'll find a wife of his own. It's difficult when there's mental health issues in a relationship. It really is. Sarita can tell you how many times. I've forgotten, but if you really dig deep, you're going to find sometimes that there's mental health issues.
I'm encouraged that we have some of our counselors that have come together for the Spiritual Care Network that's happening in South Haven. And so that's a great connection. That's a great connection. And so, again, I appreciate you ladies. I don't want to keep you any longer, but I've enjoyed speaking with you. And it's an honor to have you here, Miss Lorraine. We're so glad that you were able to join us.
And then also talking in the past about being a legend in the city, the county, I don't remember what month it was that we went down to, where was it, in Hernando,
Yes.
It was so cold, I don't remember. Anyway, the county last year sometime made me a, what was it?
It was, I can't remember what it was. But
Trailblazer.
That was it,
Trailblazer. There were six women. They located in the county, I think it was six, that had made a difference. And they called us Trailblazers and gave us a plaque, and the dinner was wonderful, but lasted too long.
That's well deserved, Miss Lorraine, for sure.
So,
you are definitely, you have been a trailblazer, and you are an inspiration for so many women, me being one of them, just since I've been here at the chamber watching you as alderwoman and founder of House of Grace. And I appreciate so much all of the work that you've done here in South Haven.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources.